Welcome to today's episode of Profitable Word by Reverend Francis W. Albing, Lead Pastor, The Keeper's House Chapel International. And now to today's word.
This morning we're going to continue our series on peculiar people, part 3. Peculiar people, part 3. And we want to read the foundational text of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9 says that, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his what marvelous light." Praise the Lord. Peculiar people, part 3. Please take your seat. We have learned that as peculiar people, we are not peculiar because we are naturally unique. We are peculiar because he has chosen us. Of all the nations of the world, he decided to choose us unto himself. The word there is that he has sanctified us unto himself. He has made us sacred for his use, fit for his pleasure. Praise the Lord. And so we are peculiar because he has chosen us. And one key reason is to also show forth his praises, because he's called us, the praises of the one who has called us. So we are not peculiar because we are serving ourselves. We are peculiar, and the purpose of our peculiarity is to show forth the praises of the one who has given us value in life, the one who has given us life, the one who has chosen us, selected us, appointed us, anointed us, sanctified us for his own glory. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that we have been saved to become instrument of his pleasure. So he has chosen us and made us peculiar for his own glory. And we have to exist with that mentality. We have to exist and function in a way that is prescribed in his word, so that we will surely be people who will show forth his praises here on the earth. Praise the Lord. Because a great God wants to live with not just any kind of people. Tell someone, you are not just anyhow person. You are not just any kind of a person. You are the person for the great God. And say, you and I, we are the peculiar people for this wonderful God. Is it exciting to you? Praise the Lord. And so, he choosing us and making us peculiar, that's what makes us different from every kind of people on the face of the earth. And most of the times, the Christian tries to secularize their existence. But our existence is more sacred than secular, more spiritual than material or physical. So we are a peculiar people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. All these, you know, accolades or kind of status he's given us, they make us different from the rest of the world. So our mentality should be different from the mentality of the rest of the world. The way we function should be different from the way the world functions. The way we see things should be different from the way the world sees things. Tell somebody that you should be different in everything because you are a peculiar person. You know, we have been told that our thumbprints are unique to us. So two people don't have the same thumbprint all over the world. That has to be the work of a very, very great architect. That of the billions or trillions of people on the face of the earth, you won't get two people who have the same thumbprint. That even tells us that naturally, everyone has been made unique. Naturally, you are unique. The next person by your side, there is something about you that person can never have. And there is something about them that you can never have. Because God designed everyone differently. But when we come into the household of faith, we have to understand that we are a sampled population from the rest of the world. That some are Hinduist, some are Shintoist, who's a Christianist, some are Muslims, some are traditionalist, some don't have any religious affiliation. Praise the Lord. Are you sure you are here? Yeah, I was reading, looking through a particular data analysis of religious backgrounds of the demographics of the data that was collected. In Ghana, here in Greater Accra, it says 79% of the people in that district said they are Christians. Yes, the survey said, and it's close to the national survey from GSS. Praise the Lord. Then the next people that come are those who are without religious affiliation. Yeah, they are the next people that follow. Before Muslims, then traditionalists in that area. Praise the Lord. Are you here with me at all? So the two key religious affiliations in Ghana, based on that data, are Christians and those without religious affiliation. Then after that, you have Muslims, you have people in African traditional religion, and all of that. Praise the Lord. But even if you put all together, you find out that when you take 79 out of 100, you have only 21%. So you have Christians here, and you have the rest of the people, 21% put together. And yet we are a sample out of a bigger population. And sometimes we behave like we are the same with everyone. But we are not. Our faith is entirely different from any other kind of faith. There is no faith on earth that sees Jesus Christ as their savior, except Christians. Every other one is having a focal point somewhere, including those who have no focal point. Hello? So you and I, we are very unique people. And we are unique because this great God called Jesus Christ has chosen us unto himself. And so for us to uphold our uniqueness or peculiarity, we need to understand who we are in him, because he chose us. And then function based on the way he wants us to function. If we don't come to that place, we will have mentors who are non-Christians, which is okay, but we cannot function like them, especially when it comes to our faith. So when you go for meetings and you have a mentor in the line of your career, and after the trek meeting, then they are drinking their wine, then they have imported some woman, then they are sniffing their cocaine and smoking cigar. With a cigar, she shandy him say, your nose is like a chimney, you know. So like, you know, and there's a way that they've exalted the cigar to be like a bourgeois something. So the question is, if that kind of a person is industrious in their line of work, and there are many non-Christians who are very, very industrious in their career path. Question is, are you supposed to embrace everything a mentor comes to the table with, or you must let your faith help you select what the important variables are? That's a question you should ask. Because there are fathers of faith and there are fathers of sin. So if you are not careful and you are patterning or structuring your life after a very glorious mentor who doesn't have the same faith disposition as you have, you may go into the smoking of the cigar, the drinking of the wine, because if you are not careful, you will think that it's all part of the success. And they will tell you, when they drink the wine, their brain clears and they're able to reason well. They're able to sleep well. They smoke the cigar. You know, it gives them. So you would think that you also need those things to function well, since you want to be like them. But you have to understand that you are a peculiar person. Peculiar person for Christ. Are you here at all? Yeah. Some of your mentors will not necessarily. You can have a mentor who is a polygamist, but a Christian cannot be a polygamist. You can go to heaven and come down. The Christian is not meant to be a polygamist. So, but if your mentor is a polygamist, you have to know what variables are in his life or her life that you are trying to go for. Those that do not match with your faith, you respectfully stay away from it. Praise the Lord. You can also have Christian or supposed Christian mentors, because I know some prophet who were taught how to drink by pastors, how to womanize by pastors, how to rob people by pastors, how to add pouring of libation to praying by pastors. In fact, there is one who is now very vocal in this country and even on social, on YouTube, who has mixed the African traditional religion with his many years of being a Christian. And the person who introduced him to it was his pastor, who made him feel like the New Testament, New Covenant is not enough. But there is much more. It made him feel like there is much more that is in the Old Testament that fits our African context, that we can do. They can do a hybrid and it will be more powerful. So when you go, you will see them in their fully blown African traditional worship, and they will still be singing songs sung by Christians to do their traditional burnt offerings. They have cut goat, they have cut cow, they have cut turtle, different things, and they are singing. First it was fragrance, then it turned to fire, because they are doing a fire, a burnt offering. The Lord should help us to incorporate Jesus Christ in our lyrics. Sometimes it's difficult because, you know, lyrics are not easy to, melodies are not easy to structure. But you will see a lot of traditionalists singing songs that are reserved for Christians. The thing that is giving them liberty to do so is the issue of God. You hardly hear anybody sing a song that has Jesus in the song, in the shrine. But they can sing about a song that's a Christian song, but that refers to a deity God. And as they are singing to that God, they are referring to their God. But Ebeya wanted to say Jesus in the shrine. Are you here at all? The song we just sang is a Keeper's Music song. Power in the name. And we mentioned Jesus. You can't sing it in the shrine, because your idol will even be angry with you. And Jesus, he ain't coming to the shrine for anything. Are you here at all? But very powerful songs that do not necessarily, you know, that the lyrics do not necessarily accommodate Jesus. Because sometimes, I'm not saying that the writers are bad. I know the difficulty in sometimes structuring a melody like that. But I'm saying that the liberty for these people, one of the guys in Ghana right now who is very vocal, but is a traditionalist and came from a Christian background, he was even a music minister. So he knows more Christian music than traditional music. Contemporary, he'll be singing contemporary music. Too powerful. So when you hear that kind of music in the shrine, you feel like your God is being worshipped, but you're a peculiar person. You can't follow that. Tell somebody you can't follow that. Your covenant is different. Our covenant is different from their covenant. They have a covenant with other gods, other deities. We have a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So, we have to uphold our peculiarity. Some of them will be your family members. Some of them will be your work colleagues. Some of them will even be pastors who are veered off. But the church is a safe place for them to continue something they see as their vocation or their livelihood sustenance. And so it's easier for, that's why you see a lot of fetish priests operating church or what looks like a church. Because it's a safe place for some of these people. Praise the Lord. But the child of God must know that you are a peculiar person to Jesus alone. Jesus alone. Why? Because Jesus alone is the one that is supposed to be occupying the child of God. Devil and Jesus cannot be occupying you at the same time. Or should not be occupying you at the same time. Praise the Lord. And if you listen to some of the teachings going around, it looks like you can have Jesus and have every other thing with it as well.
But that doesn't make you peculiar. You are just a hybrid of some spiritual product we are here to determine what name to give to. But it's Jesus mixed with something else. And if you are a Christian, it has to be Jesus alone. That's what makes you a peculiar person. If it is Jesus with something else, then you have left the ambit of who a Christian is. You are something else. Ask somebody, are you something else? Or you are truly a Christian? So let's look at some scriptures. And if you see a scripture like Colossians chapter 1, in Colossians chapter 1 verse 18, we can read and learn about our peculiarity. And the first point I'm making is that you are peculiar because you have been saved and sanctified for the master's fellowship. In Colossians 1:18, it said, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Praise the Lord. So here, a Christian must be in church. The church is the body of Christ, ecclesia. Praise the Lord. So if you are a Christian and Christ is in you, you must not be secluded. You must be part of the body. And when you go into the scriptures, it tells you that you are not meant to be separated from the body, because the body is one and we are members of the body. So have you seen anybody's nose operating from a remote space before? Like the person is here and their nose is in Aboblochi. Or someone is here and their hand is in Adenta or East Legon. No, the body must work together, fitted together. Every joint and every part must supply. Say, I'm a member of the body of Christ. You know, this is when you are teaching like this, people find a way to sleep. Is the reason why you are never powerful. The reason why you are never powerful is because your fundamentals are not correct. And according to Mahmoud Baumia, when the fundamentals are weak, the exchange rate will what? Expose you. There's a scripture for it. It says that where there is no foundation, the righteous will what? Perish. Fundamentals. Say fundamentals. Please, let me tell you that you are not a Christian because you know how to pray. You are a Christian because you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior, and you recognize his personality in you. That recognition, because it's not by force. There has to be a recognition of his person in you and the recognition of his lordship over your soul for you to say, I'm a Christian. So in our month of covenant, you have to, because the Muslim knows who they are. But sometimes the Christian feels he's a Christian because he belongs to a church. Or my father is a pastor. Or I'm born into a Christian family. You will know whether you are a Christian. Sometimes you know whether you are a Christian when you are hurt. Then you want to curse by the river god of your village. Then you know that, Charlie, what is in you is not just Christ. To me, but what do you grumble some body? You know, when I was way younger, there was a woman who was a queen mother, you know, in our house. It's a family house, their family house, a compound family house, and we were tenants there growing up. And there was this woman who used to live upstairs. So during the festival time, they would carry her in, you know, one stool like that. So the woman was an expert in cursing. And sometimes when he's not happy with you, there will be a quarrel maybe Saturday night or Sunday morning. She will tell you that, wait, she's going to mass. She's going for mass. And when she comes, she will deal with you. And bam, bam. So early in the morning, she will wake up and go for her mass. When she's coming, she veers to the Akweteshiba, buys the apio, buys the egg, comes to the house, stands by some gutter there, and curses you by the egg and the alcohol. Yeah, so, it's a Christian traditional worshiper. Ask somebody, who are you? Your type, which type is it? I can't be, you see, I'm not hearing some people here. Which type are you? Which type are you? Are you type A or type B? Type A. Diabetes, there are different types, so. So I want to know which type you are. All right. He said, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have what? Preeminence. Preeminence. Verse 19. He said, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. In Christ should all fullness. So when Christ came on earth, he was full God. He was the incorporation of the Godhead. So Jesus is not the Father's biological son. There is no, you see, Jesus is God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, incorporated in a body form, born to a woman, born under the law, is God who is a spirit on earth in a body form. That entity is called the Son of God. It's Jesus. Then God who is a spirit on earth, functioning as the spirit, is also called the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So you don't have three gods that you are serving. So when we say Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you are not serving three entities at the same time. No, it's still one God. Praise the Lord. Right. So sometimes the way you'll understand is that you know that a human being is body, soul, and spirit. Hello? And you are still one entity. And you nothing can separate. If you separate the body from the soul, there is no product. If you separate the soul from the body, there is no product. If you separate the spirit from the body and the soul, this thing you see here doesn't exist. So you can't separate the Father from Son and Holy Spirit. There is no separation. Hello? Somebody is sleeping now. Because I didn't talk about generational cases. And we are not breaking yokes. I forbid you from sleeping. This scripture is saying that. Tell somebody, I'm a peculiar person. I sat in church and my pastor took time to preach and explain and give me scriptures of who I am in Christ. And this is where I am. You will be where you will be. Your mind will be where it will be based on how you are taught of who you are in Christ. How Christ sees you. It's not a matter of, I know how to pray. Don't you see how depressed prayerful people become? Because you can pray and you are detached from Jesus Christ. I've told you that prayer is, for a Christian, prayer is nothing. Except you have faith in Jesus Christ. If you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, then it's an exercise in futility. So he said, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Verse 20. 20 says that, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So in Jesus, he reconciled by the blood of his cross. When he went on the cross, he reconciled all things to himself. Next verse, please. And that reconciliation brought us peace. Peace between man and God. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled. So prior to becoming a Christian is receiving Jesus into your life. When you receive Jesus into your life, the Bible says that Jesus, through the blood of his cross, reconciled you and I to the Father and gave us peace. Say, I have peace. Come on now. Say, I have peace. You don't have peace because there is no trouble around you. You have peace because the Prince of Peace lives inside of you. Praise the Lord. And prior to he living inside of you, you were alienated. You were enemies in your mind. Wicked people with wicked words. But Christ in us, now we are no longer aliens. Bible says he came to his own. His own received him not. But as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. Praise the Lord. Those who were not born of the flesh, nor of blood, nor of the will of men, but born of what? God. So I'm not an alien to God. Sometimes you pray and say, Eradim in some in some fata. Not when you are a Christian. That prayer is not a Christian prayer. Because in Christ, you are no longer an alien. You have peace with the Father. He lives in you and you live in him. There is no separation. Bible says that he that is joined with God is one. One in spirit with God. Praise the Lord. So sometimes you have received Christ and you don't know the teaching that you are one in spirit. You are one in what?
Spirit.
You have to talk to me. Say, I'm one in spirit. Say, my spirit inside of me has the Holy Spirit inside of that my spirit. And I am inside the Holy Spirit. It's a marriage that you cannot separate. So the Spirit of God is living in me. Wow. No more an alien. You sing the song. I no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Wow. I am a child. Then we sing a song like, in my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I, who the Son sets free. Oh, he's free indeed. I'm a child. Yes, sir. In my Father's house, there's a place. I'm a child. Who is a child of God here? Oh, Malakosha, da 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 da. Who the Son says. Oh, he's free. I'm a what a church. Then he said, I am chosen, not forsaken. I know who he says I am. You are waiting for me. Not against me. I am who he says. Come on.
I am chosen, not forsaken.
I am.
I am who you say I am.
You don't take your definition from the well.
You are for me, not against me.
I am who you say I am. Yeah,
I am what you say I am. You are for me, not against.
It's never against me.
I am what you say I am.
Praise the Lord. Is it powerful already? Scripture. I am not alienated. I'm not an enemy of God. Before I was given to wicked works, but now I have been reconciled. Praise the Lord. Next verse says what? He said, in the body of his flesh through death, I have been reconciled. In the body of his flesh, when Christ died, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Sa sight no ne so in Christ. You have, through the death of Christ, he has presented you, he reconciled us to the Godhead. And now he has presented you holy. Presented you what? Say, I'm holy. You know, say, I know I'm not holy. I'm not. You are holy. Your original nature is that you are holy. Knowing that you are holy helps you to live a clean life. One that is not blemished. He said, unblameable. Praise the Lord. And irreprovable in his sight. God sees you to be holy. God sees you to be unblameable, without blemish, irreprovable in his sight. This is how God sees me. Please give me ESV. This is how God sees me. How does God see you? He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Holy, blameless, above reproach. That's why the child of God, based on the work Christ has done for you, you must feel holy because you are holy. He made you holy. So you must think holy, live holy, feel holy, practice holiness. Why do I not get into things that are filthy? Because I know that in Christ I am holy in his sight. So I don't get into unholy things because my wiring is that I am holy in his sight. And that mentality must stick with you forever. As a child of God, unblameable, above reproach. This is who I am before him. Praise the Lord. So Satan comes to you and say all kinds of things. You have to present who you are to Satan. Present who you are. I am holy. I'm unblameable. I'm above reproach. You understand? Hello? Are you sure you are here? Satan will attack your mind though. Satan will what? Attack your mind. And please, when you do something that is not right, your rebuke must not come from Satan. Your rebuke must come from the Holy Spirit. That's why he is in you to convict you of all sins. And if you stay alive to him, you will find out that you won't stay in wrongdoing as long as you are willing to stay alive to him. Praise the Lord. So when Satan now comes to give you guilt, make you feel blameless, that's why sometimes you don't want to appear in church. Or appear where God's children are. Because Satan is telling you are dirty, you are this, you are that, you are da-da-da, you are da-da-da, you are da-da-da. So you have to. It's in the sight of God. The believer is never in the sight of Satan. Praise the Lord. The peculiar person is peculiar to the Holy Spirit, to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to Satan. And you live to function in your peculiarity in his sight. So what he thinks about you is what must matter to you. Not what the world thinks about you or what Satan thinks about you. Satan thinks of you prior to you coming into Christ as a prostitute, an alien. But in Christ, Christ thinks about me as holy, unblameable, above reproach. Hello? Are you here at all? That's why Jesus allowed the woman to anoint his feet with that oil and perfume. Because as the world saw her as a very unclean woman, prostitute and all of that, Jesus, he incorporated the woman into himself. He didn't see anything wrong about the nature of the woman, because in Christ you have lost your old nature and you have assumed his nature. The assumption of his nature is what is called the new creature. His nature, not your nature. Praise the Lord. Am I preaching or I'm dancing here? You are not ordinary. You are not normal. That is why you cannot marry a normal person. You see, when we say a Christian should not marry an unbeliever, it is not because of anything, no. Is you are driving a train on a street or flying a plane on water. Bible says, the way of the bird is in the air, the way of the snake is in the rocks, the way of the man is with the maiden. Hello? So, the way of the man is not with the man. The way of the snake. It's with the rocks. Hello? The bird doesn't live in the water. That's not his way. Praise the Lord. So, when you put the bird inside the water, the bird will not function well. It would destroy the very purpose for which its nature was made to function. Because the water is not a natural habitat for the bird. That means that all the potentials in the bird will not be harnessed. Because it is the fish that will harness all its potentials in the water, not the bird. So when you're a Christian, you say, you can't marry an unbeliever. It's one nature, which is light, which is seen to be holy, unblameable, without reproach in the sight of God, getting married to another nature that is unholy, blameable, with reproach in the sight of God. That nature, God doesn't see that nature. The unbeliever you are bringing into the equation, God doesn't see that one. So that's just by the way. So when a holy nature and an unholy nature meet and they give birth, what do you call that product? I'm asking you an important question. What do you call that product? Now, this was so important. That is why the Godhead decided that Joseph should not have conjugal relationship with Mary to produce Jesus. That for Jesus to be born as God on earth, it has to be the spirit using the human container to come out. Not the relationship between human being and a human being producing. Because that would have been spiritual nature mixing with an unholy nature. And that the Bible says that he was never found with sin. It was not a mixture. Don't create a mixture. Sometimes they say that it's not true. Sometimes they say that it's true. But in, I think, Genesis chapter 6, thereabout, angels were sent here. They saw that the daughters of men were fair. The biblical account said that some of them had, you know, carnal knowledge with these fair women. Don't play down on women. There's something about women. It's not normal. Boy, it's not normal. Angels could not withstand women. Now, when angels slept with human beings to produce an offspring, angels and human beings produce an offspring, it is believed though that some of them came out to be Nephilims. Oh man, it's a dangerous matter. Those are the things that became like idols on the face of the earth. Are you here at all? Hey, you are still sleeping. Even with the story I'm telling you. Oh, your matter there, it needs intercession, pa. Nephilims, entities. Too much. Wow. Say, I'm a peculiar person. I can preach this for forever. When you see maybe someone like me live the way I live, I'm not shy to say I'm holy. I'm not shy to say I am perfect. Because my holiness and perfection, I assume it from Christ. Praise the Lord. And that is the primary consciousness I have when it comes to my walk on earth. So, upholding that my nature in Christ, some things are not attractive unto me. I don't have taste for some things. I don't have taste for alcohol. Do you understand? When you know, tell somebody, when you know, you will lose the negative power for wicked works. When you know, it's the scripture that said that you will know the truth. Just, he didn't say they will pray for you. The knowing of the truth. You will know the truth. Say no. I can't hear you. Say no. Say you will know. You will know. And immediately you know the truth. The truth is Jesus. And what he stands for. Immediately you know. You must be set free. Free from alcoholism. Free from whatever you are struggling with. This is who I am. This is what do you know? They told the story of an eagle playing with chicken. And all this while, by flocking with them, it thought that it was a chicken. Because they were all in the bird family. Then one day, a mature eagle passed by that area. And this eagle saw that, my face resembles the one in the air. My feathers, my wings, I look like the one there. More than these other people down here. He started questioning himself. Could it be that I'm something else that I have not really, you know, harnessed the potential because of the kind of association that I am having, the fellowship that I'm not going there. You are afraid that I'm going into your friendship. I'm not going there. I'm just telling you something. So when he saw that one flying, he started practicing flying. And that one now realized that, oh boy, I can fly, you. That's how I started flying. I believe I can fly. That's how I started flying. You see, greater part of your limitation is the fact that you are in a terrain that takes away from you what your true nature in Christ is. The earth itself is a terrain that takes from you that instead of flying, you are on ground. And so everything looks grounded in your head until you give yourself an exposure into the truth. That tells you that though you are in this world, you are not of this world. You have abilities to fly. Now you know that you have to flap your wings. I like it when he said he started practicing flying. He did it one. Otumitu practicing how not to drink alcohol. Practicing how not to continue to do the things that are not in, you know, synchronized with the nature that Christ has given you and the way he sees you. So imagine sitting there and just drinking alcohol. That's not how Christ wants to see you. Hello? Do you understand? No guilt. Tell somebody no guilt. But just know the truth. Tell somebody know the truth. You see, tell somebody that the alcohol, it is going into your mouth because you are putting it there. Not the alcohol and friends. One of a friend. Na me cry then I'm coca alcohol. And then I'm a papa no sabe brinti. And then I am a takai. Imagine. I'm telling you. Joel Osteen's father, he told a story. He said that when his mother lost his dad, his mother was smoking tobacco. That cigarette. No, not smoking tobacco, he was using snuff. How many of you know snuff? My father used to do snuff. You know snuff? Asra. Asala na mo friend well. Asra. This time they have packaged it nice, pa. You want to, you open it, it has some dangerous. You sniff it, it's like it's a junior cocaine. And it will be bringing flames, sir. In your mind, it's like a door is clearing your system. My father used snuff, sir. Then one time, many years, we were there, and then my father was unwell. And his whole head and face swollen. So when he went to the hospital, they said that there is an accumulation of a foreign substance in his upper part of the body. And they started asking him questions. They found out that he was on snuff. Sniffing it. Morning. My father always has it in his pocket. Alfred is here. Too short. Papa. Like that. And they'll be bringing out the flames. Feels very cool. But they had to stop him from the snuff to detox his system before his health came back to him. You are a doctor. Do you people prescribe snuff for people? You don't. Catch you with a nyedro. Doctor, Kasa, final. We are doctor. We are doctor. A yedro and a nyedro. Doctor, ne bet me aide. Actually. Yet the sad yare. Eti yare wo. Eti di. Yo, yeah, so Joel Osteen's grandma, the husband died. She was on snuff, and I think she was smoking as well. So, you know, no, but there is another one that they put in the mouth. Most women use it, it discolors the teeth. Your friend was, because when I was growing up, there was one old woman in the house, your friend, Mommy, yes, at time, you know, Diasra. So, the woman was on this thing and she was held onto it, according to the story. They prayed for her. She wouldn't stop. They spoke to her. She wouldn't stop. There was nothing they did that would make her stop. Until, according to John Austin, the mother had a crush on a young guy. Let me catch you and say, when you are stirred, a lot of things will change. There was a stirring. A young guy came into her life. And the woman wanted to marry the young guy. And the woman realized that if she kept using the Asura and the snuff, her chances would be zero. According to the preaching, John Austin asked a question. He said, do you know how long it took for her to stop?
Right there.
Right there. She stopped the snuff and the Asura and the smoking. She stopped right there. Not knowing she was not addicted enough. It was not enough. There is no addiction you think you have that is enough. Once you know the truth, you embrace the truth and you believe. Right there, you can walk away. That is something that peculiar people have as power. You know the truth, your system will arrange and follow the truth. Coke can leave your tongue. Jesus Christ. Ah, Coke. Coke on rocks. Coca-Cola. It's not a sin. Coke is not a sin, but it can leave you. Because the times you even drink, some of you drink it 7 p.m., 8 p.m., 9, like you must drink Coke before you are sleeping, then your system no can have the Coke. What am I saying? A peculiar person has the unique ability to know the truth, and immediately your spirit arranges for your soul to connect, your body to connect, to come off whatever is destructive in your life. It's not like I'm struggling. No. When you know the truth shall what? Set you free. Because the truth is the spirit living inside of you. It will destroy every falsehood you have believed. And whatever you think are the benefit of that thing. Once you know the truth, you know Christ. The spirit of Christ in you will arrange. That arrangement is already there. If you are in the matter, it's because you have chosen to be in the matter. But the help is on ground for you to get out. That's why I keep saying that. I say that I am not going to be addicted to any foolish thing in this life. Sometimes I'll be eating rice. I say, I'm liking rice, Papa. I won't eat rice again. That's all. For the time that I say I'm not eating rice again, rice cannot arrest me. So, these days now, I have become a day. When I was doing my undergrad, I used not even to drink water. Life is good. Ask BK what I was drinking. You will come to my flat. You think it's a provision shop for Don Simon. Until I read something. I bought a book on water. And I read the book and I said, Kai, you know, in my mind, I'm putting fluid in my body. But no fluid is water. That is what it took for me to say, because Charlie Don Simon is on ground. And I have suppliers for free. I don't know if I've been preaching to somebody here at all. Say you're addicted to women. You're addicted to whatever. You're addicted to this. You're addicted to that. You're addicted to men. You're addicted to pornography. You're addicted to, you don't feel like going to church. When you know the truth, as a peculiar person, I don't struggle to go to church. If I go to a place and I don't go to church, it's like something is missing in my life. It's like I'm not breathing. Are you here at all? Come on now. It's like I'm not functioning. It's like a bird that has been put underwater. I want to fly. When you understand that you are a peculiar person, when you are doing something that is not based on your engineering, it will seem some way. It will what? Come on now. It will what? It will seem some way with your spirit. You see that it doesn't sit well. Do you understand? Are we together? It doesn't sit well with you. Why? Because the spirit of God is in you. And when you are doing what is right, and the whole world comes up against you, the spirit will bear witness with your spirit that who should we obey? Are we to obey God or we are to obey the world because of pressure? And disciples, you know, I don't know whether it's in Acts chapter 5. They stood there and they thanked God to be counted worthy of the suffering of Christ. And they were ready to die knowing that they were on the right course. He said, we are not afraid to die. There is a conviction in us. Paul said, I am persuaded. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. I am persuaded. I'm not afraid. There's a conviction. Hey, have you met somebody who is ready to die and they are threatening that person with death? That person started getting happy. Happy to die. That's what made terrorists dangerous. Because terrorists don't run away from police. The primary aim of terrorists is to die to go and marry seven virgins. So as security is coming, he's coming, he himself is the bomb. You shoot him, bomb will detonate. Because he didn't come that day to return alive. That's why Christ says, we must die to flesh. Die to Christ. Are you here at all? Paul said, if I live here, you're a peculiar person. Your glory is dying for Christ. It's a blessing that we are all human beings and Christ has chosen you and I to be his person. It's beautiful. Praise the Lord. Ask somebody, who are you? There is power. Tell somebody, there is power. There is power. You are a peculiar person. So when people are saying that there is a curse down, you can say there is a lifting. Because you are a peculiar person. The things that, you know, energize you, they won't energize. That's why you hear preaching. Faith will build in you. That faith doesn't build in the unbeliever. And when you have hope from hearing a word, the unbeliever is wondering, what was even said? It doesn't have the spiritual foundation. Do you understand? For that word, the seed of the word, it doesn't have that soil for the seed of the word to blossom with 60, 100 fruitfulness. It doesn't have the foundation. There's no soil. But you have been calibrated in such a way that as a peculiar person, when you hear the truth of God's word, power rises in you. Faith rises in you. Ability to do rises in you. Praise the Lord. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. One more time. Say, I can do all things. One more time. One more time. Say, I can do all things. Christ has given you power for creativity. That when you speak, things shall happen. It's part of your peculiarity. You shall say a thing and it shall be established. So, we say, oh dear, time be an hour, we are no can, they don't understand your wiring. They don't understand your peculiarity. Tell somebody that you know, you should know yourself. When a pig sees a snake, the pig doesn't run away, no matter how the snake will be ranting. Because the pig knows that it has oils in its body that will eject poison when it's bitten. So snake becomes friendly to the pig. What is he? I say, snake has so pig man will pay. It's not possible. So you will run away from a snake. The pig is not running. And it's not even careful with the snake. By its peculiarity, there is an inherent antidote. Inherent, that's the Bible says, greater is he that is in us. No witch is killing Francis Aubin. No witch is killing me. Why? Because as a peculiar person unto God, greater is he that is in me. It doesn't matter which people they are killing in your house. So, and it's not a matter of prayer. I keep telling you, it's not a matter of prayer. It's a matter of who is living on the inside of you. You don't deal with an evil person because I came from the place of prayer. No. You can say, by my prayer. No. Greater is he that is in me. That, are you here? Tell somebody first things first. I can't hear you the way somebody is sleeping on me right now. Tell somebody first things first, though. Why are you afraid that you will die? Why? Like, why are you afraid? Every time you're afraid, you will die. Every time you're afraid, they will kill me. Every time you're afraid, wow, my children. 1 John 4:4. Let's read it. 1 John 4:4, please. 1 John 4:4. It said, ye are of God. Nice. Little children, little. You are in Christ one day. You are still inside here, little child. And have overcome. You don't become 10 years a Christian before you become powerful. Little children, today, if you receive Christ today, the Christ in you is not lesser than the Christ in the one who received Christ 50 years ago. Little children, you have overcome. Overcome them, because there is a reason why you have overcome. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord. Now it goes to now talk about what is in the world, and just and you're not brown something what we are saying, but what is inside of you, no, is Christ, and that Christ is greater than whatever is in the world. What are though? What are they? That's why when you sleep, no demon is going to swallow you. Please tell the person, because the person you told it was getting. If you are doing midnight prayer, Christ is not in you. Forget it. The devil is not afraid of your prayer. Devil is older than you. It's called the old serpent. The thing that puts devil in his place is Christ in you. Christ in me. Does that mean I should not pray? No. When Christ is in you, one of the things the Spirit of Christ wants you to do and engineers you to do is to pray, because he himself is seated in his throne, ever interceding. That's why Christ is always praying for you. So even when you are weak and you are unable to pray, he's praying for you. No demon is coming to swallow you because you couldn't pray. Because your intercessor is on ground. And because our fellowship with him is a very gladdened fellowship. When he's praying, my spirit wants to pray. That's one of the things you are taught to do, is how to follow the stirrings of the Holy Spirit within you. Praise the Lord. It's a joy. It's a joy. If you are here and you are struggling to pray, I say, wait here, baby. You are not Kai. Elemokosha Farada. Itekleto Kaprato. Zelepreke. Nothing is killing you. Every time you are afraid, you will die. When you hear somebody had cancer and a person died, you are looking for the cancer inside of you. Christ is what is in you, not cancer. Yeah, that diabetes kills somebody. You are thinking, am I also going to die like this? Christ is in you. When your time is not up, based on this greater one that lives in you, you ain't going anywhere. No scheme of hell shall pluck you from his hands. Look at Psalm 3 verse 3. Those of you who can't sleep. Psalm 3 verse 3 is an interesting scripture. It said, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I'm taking you to verse 5. It's beautiful. Yeah. Verse 4 says what? Verse 4 says that, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Look at verse 5. Let's read together. One, go. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. You didn't wake up because you prayed. You woke up because you are scribbled in the hand of the Father, and he woke you up. Are you here at all? Listen to me. The fetish priest that wants to kill you, if God does not wake them up by mercy, they won't be up. And if the person that wants to kill you, if God does not wake them up, they won't wake up. And if God says he will not allow you to die, nobody can kill you. Because when you sleep, the responsibility of your rising is not in your hand. It's not in your care. You are somebody's responsibility to wake. When they do anesthesia for a surgical patient, and the person is in like it's total anesthesia, it is somebody's duty to wake the person up. It's somebody's duty. Michael Jackson. It's not the devil that wakes you up or takes the license of you living from you. That's why he says, I have not given you the spirit of fear. Again, to be afraid. You are secure in him, with him, by him, as a peculiar person. You are secure. You are not falling. Unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us blameless before his glorious throne. He is able to keep us from falling. Every time my business in a big go, I said, he is able to keep us from falling. Every fall, falling into sin, falling into a business fall, whatever, all fall before. He's able to go embassy. Where refuse to home pants, I will call. Anyway, now peculiar person near bounce. It has not changed your nature. You can still get it. If you know who you are, it will work for you. Tell somebody it's working for me, it's working for me. So come on. Tell somebody it's working for me. Can you move to about seven people? Seven people will be talking to them. Tell them that it's working for you, a peculiar person.
Be a part of our family on social media at the Keeper's House Chapel International. Visit us at the Testimony Arena, Jefamco Junction, Medina Estate. You can also follow Reverend Francis Albing on all social media platforms. God bless you.